I'm preaching on Let's Get Serious About a Conquering Attitude, but before I do that, 2 weeks ago I preached on Let's Get Serious About Church. And to complement that subject, I want to share with you an article from the internet, the source is unknown, and the title of it is How to Stay Safe. Number one, everybody wants to stay safe, right? Okay. All right, number one, avoid riding in automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Two, do not stay home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Three, avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Four, avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Number five, of the remaining 33% of deaths, 32% occur in hospitals. Above all, avoid hospitals. Okay. You will be pleased, now listen to me, you'll be pleased to learn that only 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services in church. And these are usually related to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you to be at any given point in time is at church. So if you want to be safe, don't miss church. Bible study is safe too. The percentage of deaths during Bible study is even less. Some of y'all are thinking, maybe you ought to bring a cot to church and just camp at church. No, you're not going to do that. But that's just a thought. And may I add, the longer you're in church, the safer you'll be. The safer your soul will be. Now, once we're saved, we're always saved, but we want to grow in Christ. And the more you're in church, that all the more complements your growth in Christ. It complements your encouragement and the power that you have to encourage others as you grow in Christ. It complements your children as they learn Bible stories in Sunday school. That's the groundwork for their future. It complements your youth as they're learning from God's Word also. It complements everybody. And then a bonus, it's the safest place to be. Now, last Sunday I preached on Let's Get Serious About Evangelism. More than ever. More than ever. Today I'm preaching on Let's Get Serious About Having a Conquering Attitude. Now, this may be one of the most important messages you ever hear. This is something we need to practice every day. This is not a one-time fix. This is a resolve that we must have in our lives to practice a right attitude, to have the right perspective on the things that come our way in life. Years ago, we had an evangelist here named David Ring. How many of you remember David? Some of you will because you've been here for a long time. It's been a long time since we've had David. I think we had him 3 times. David has cerebral palsy, and when he walks, he has a difficult time moving. When he begins to preach, you really have to tune in to catch his words. And at first, it's difficult. But in time, it comes your way. In time, it comes your way. David brought with him some t-shirts. One, I believe, said, "Quit your belly aching." I believe another one said, "Don't whine, but shine." That's right. As we have assembled on this last Sunday of the second month of 2024, we who are children of God have every reason to shine with a conquering attitude because of the constant victory that we have in Jesus and realize that we have an eternal home in heaven. Listen, for all of us who are in Christ, the best is yet to come indeed. One of these days we're going to have a glorified body. It's just so much good is in front of us. so much good, no matter what we're going through. You know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 37 are some powerful words. What then shall we say to these things? What things? Doesn't matter. No matter what comes our way, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now you can put a period right there. If God is for us, who can be against us? We are conquerors in Jesus Christ. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you really believe that? Folks, I really do. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, and all these challenges, and all these times of persecution, and all these hurtful times, and all these distressing times, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. In his commentary on Romans, Warren Wiersbe shares this. He gives us the power to conquer. We are more than conquerors. Literally, we are super conquerors through Jesus Christ. He gives us victory and more victory. We need not fear life or death, things present or things to come, because Jesus Christ loves us and gives us the victory. This is not a promise with conditions attached. If you do this, God will do that. This security in Christ is an established fact. And we claim it for ourselves because we are in Christ. Nothing can separate you from his love. Believe it and rejoice in it. And I say amen to that. Beloved, as we proceed with the message, I'm going to give you an Old Testament blessing. And I'd like for you to stand as I give you this blessing. I give it to you with all my heart. And Linda's in my home. We have these words on a plaque that hangs over our door. You may not see it when you come in, but as you leave our home, you'll see this plaque over our door. And this plaque has words on it that goes like this. It's from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, and the first part of chapter 5. And I'd like to pray this blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And I say this with all of my heart. You need to embrace the fact, if you're in Christ, that you are blessed and that he has blessed you more than any of us deserve. And to just think the Lord's face shines upon us. You know, his face is never turned away from us. Does our face ever turn away from him sometimes? Yeah. But the Lord's face never turns away from you. Father, may your blessing in a special way rest upon thy church this day. And may we more than ever realize how blessed we are. Give us a right perspective and a right attitude in all that we will encounter in the days ahead. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And I would welcome you praying that blessing over me and my family as often as it comes to your mind. If you know Christ, you have so many blessings and promises from the Lord. You've heard the song, Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One. You can try doing that, and that's healthy, but we are incapable of counting all of our blessings because, you see, we are blessed in ways that we don't even see. We'll have to wait to get to heaven to realize how blessed we are. For example, we didn't have an accident on the way to church. There's accidents all over the place. But God spared us from an accident. And how many accidents have we been spared from because the Lord was watching over us? How about our health? How about the things that He protects us? Well, we can never count all of our blessings, but we can certainly count some of them. We should have the greatest attitude of any people in the whole wide world because of how blessed we are of knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, knowing where we're going when we die, knowing that His face is never turned away from us. This should be fueling our attitude and perspective on our life. But be reminded that attitude really is a choice, and it will prove to be a continuous choice. Some of you have come to church today thinking, I'm going, but it ain't going to do me no good. I feel like I'm in a helpless condition. Please, please be good to everybody you meet because everybody's got problems. And you might be just a smile and just the word that lifts them. Everybody's got problems, and how we face those problems could make a difference in their life too, because there's a circle of people that's watching your life. You may not feel like you have any influence at all, but you do. You do. You've got a circle. Charles Swindoll shares this very well. This may shock you, but I believe the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It's more important than my past, my education, my bankroll, my successes or failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position. Attitude is that single string that keeps me going or cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or assaults my hope. When my attitudes are right, there's no barrier too high, no valley too deep, no dream too extreme, no challenge too great for me. And I say amen to that. Beloved, I can't govern what may come my way in this life. I've never been able to govern what comes my way. If I did, it'd all be good. But nobody governs what comes their way on any given day. Every day is an adventure, folks. And so you may as well be prepared to face it. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can determine my attitude and my response towards whatever comes my way. That is my choice. I am in control of my response. We need to realize that our attitude and responses to life's challenges can significantly affect our lives as well as the lives of others. And that needs to sink deep within our minds and hearts. How we respond, what our attitude is, not only affects our life, and our being, it affects the people who are watching us. It can affect our loved ones. My first point is a negative or defeated attitude can produce severe consequences. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, Moses sent a group of men to spy out the land of Canaan. You've read this many times. If you've been a Christian a while, you know there were 12 men who would return with their attitudes and perspectives of the land. Now, here's the word that they brought back to Moses, Aaron, and the congregation, starting with verse 26 of chapter 13 of Numbers. Now, they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us." Okay. "It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." They brought back some fruit showing how good it was. Then comes the first word of verse 28. Say this word with me, "Nevertheless." That's the story of a lot of people's lives. Nevertheless, here's where negativity really starts. I know Jesus as my Savior. I know He's coming back one day. I know I'm saved by grace. Nevertheless, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, God does. And here's the fact of the matter. You're not going through anything that someone else hasn't gone through in the past. Because there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make, now try to remember these words, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Here's the fact of the matter. No matter what temptation comes your way, no matter how many challenges come your way, God always makes a way of escape. And your best way of escape is to know what the Bible says. Be a good student of the Bible. When you face each day with God's Word, in the mornings, if you've spent time with the Lord in His Word, in prayer, and reading good Christian material, friends, you're ready to face the day, no matter what comes your way. Nevertheless, they saw good stuff. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and on and on and on. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. They're bigger than us. And by the way, no matter what problems that you have, you can make those problems bigger than God if you want to. But as Christians, we need to remember we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is no problem bigger than God. And all of our problems as believers pass before the Lord before they come our way anyway. It doesn't take Him by surprise. There's another verse I want to share real quick. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Years ago, I believe it was in the 70s, there was a series called Kung Fu. Anybody remember that? Kung Fu? All right, you just showed your age. All right, okay. Well, it gives a history of the main character, how he was raised in a monastery that taught the martial arts style of Kung Fu. And one of his masters was blind. He was accepted as a boy into the monastery, I guess that's what you call them, and he was trained in the art of Kung Fu, and one of his masters was blind. And one day they were talking, and the master, being blind, was of course a lot older than the star of the show, and the master asked him, I think he asked him if he heard the chirping of a grasshopper. Now, when you're blind, of course, you have sharper senses. Your other senses are sharper. And so evidently the master could hear the grasshopper chirping. And then the master began to call the star grasshopper. Remember? He was called grasshopper. Well, that's what a whole lot of people are who allow their problems to overcome them. You're just a grasshopper. You're just a little... These men saw themselves as grasshoppers. Now, let me share with you some observations here concerning this text. The attitude of 10 was influenced by what they saw, not by what they could believe. They saw giants. You know, the external circumstances in life that we face can be overwhelming. Their attitude was of defeat and discouragement. Their attitude was one of, we can't do it. Too great. And by the way, this is not the only time someone experiences a giant in the Bible. There's a young Hebrew lad that brings something to eat to his brothers Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah during a time of war. Israel was at war at this time with the Philistines. You know who I'm talking about, David, of course. David sees Saul's army being intimidated by Goliath, a giant Philistine. In the midst of all the fear among the people of God, the Bible says, "Then David said to Saul," I love this, "let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, in his brother's eyes, or at least in one of his brother's eyes, and probably in the eyes of other soldiers, David was a shrimp of a man when it comes to war. David was the youngest son of Jesse, of course. And David was just bringing some lunch to his brothers. And I believe he bought something for some others, but you need to understand that David saw the same huge physical dimensions that all the others saw that intimidated them and that caused them to be afraid. But the difference between David and a whole army, including King Saul, was that David knew in whom he believed and was greater, and knew that in whom he believed was greater and more powerful than Goliath's massive physical frame. The Israeli army saw Goliath as being too big to hit, but David saw Goliath as just too big to miss. His whole perspective, his whole attitude was opposite of what the army's was. Now, it's obvious that David had a great attitude of confidence in the Lord, and therefore he charged, if you'll read the text, he ran towards that giant. He didn't sneak up to him or anything, because he had already gotten settled in his heart in whom he had believed. You see, David had the victory before he put that rock in that sling. That's why it's so important that you be in God's Word every morning. That's why it's so important that you don't walk out of your front door until you've already gotten the victory. Because temptations are going to come. Problems are going to come. This might be the very day you're going to get yelled at, or that you're going to lose your job, or, hey, let God be in control of your life, will you? Let God Almighty control your life. Let Him be Lord of your life. He said, Matthew 6, don't worry about nothing. Hey, food, clothing. He knows what you need better than you do. No matter how many Goliaths will come your way on your journey with the Lord, you have the weapon of the promises of God Almighty in His Word, and those promises can slay and conquer all your challenges. It's all a matter of how much of His Word that you know. Recently, just a matter of days ago, I was chatting with Mark Grooms. Mark and I went to school together. His father, J.O. Grooms, taught an evangelism course at Liberty during those real early days. He had a book called Treasure Path to Soul Winning. And I appreciate so much. I was chatting with Buzz last week, and Buzz had that course in college, and he found his old Treasure Path to Soul Winning. Have any of you seen that little book? It's a great little book. On each page, there's five verses, and those in his class had to memorize those verses. And when he gave an exam, well, I'm not going to go into that, but you had to. Linda's smiling because I got a story on her, but I'm going to pass. She had that course too, but there are five verses on each page to memorize. And so I appreciate so much Buzz wanting copies of that little book to give to his Sunday school class because Buzz has a passion that they win souls. And having God's word in your heart is everything. It means everything. And if you've got God's word in your heart and you've resolved that you're going to memorize at least some of it, it will give you incredible victory every moment of every day. And when you have God's attitude, indeed, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Now, let's go back to the 12 spies. Enough of David and Goliath, although they are so inspiring. And you know, that story, if you like sports and everything, how many times have these announcers used the term, it's David against Goliath? People understand that language. And in our everyday life, it really is David against Goliath, isn't it? We're the Davids. Christians are the Davids, and Satan is the Goliath out there that wants you to see him bigger than he really is. Satan is God's unwilling servant, folks. We need to remind ourselves of that. David could do nothing against Job without Satan getting God's permission. Every step of the way, Satan had to get God's permission as to how far he could go with Job. Same with us. God doesn't love you any less. God did not love Job, or does not present tense love Job more than he loves us. Job is with the Lord now. Job is living forever in heaven. The 12 spies, there were 10 who had a defeated attitude. You know that story. They only saw giants, but they had a negative view of themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. The negative and defeated attitude of the 10 would produce severe consequences, not only for them, as a result of their wrong perspective and attitude, they were going to die. But their report was going to influence the crowd to believe them rather than Caleb's. Caleb and Joshua, of course, had the right perspective, but the negative attitude and the bad report of these 10 spies was going to cause, it would cause the death of millions of Israelites in the wilderness. Millions. I think it was about 6 million that left with Moses after the 10 plagues, something like that. So there were millions there. A whole generation would die without seeing the Holy Land. Even Moses was not allowed to go in because he smote the rock rather than speaking to it. God let him see it. But that's as far as Moses could get into the Holy Land. Even Aaron and Miriam died. The consequences of our wrong attitude and wrong perspective and the choices that we make in life affect not only ourselves but others. My final point, a positive and conquering attitude can produce a great good and a right perspective. Difficulties and challenges are faced are experienced by all of us. And no matter how many lemons life may deal to us, we can really choose to cultivate a positive and conquering attitude that complements a right perspective on each lemon so that we can make lemonade all the time. Let me share with you the Joseph lemons. And I'm talking about the Old Testament Joseph, the next to youngest son of Jacob. And by the way, we can't use Jacob as an example of a good father, because in some ways he was not. He showed favoritism to Joseph, and we can learn from that. We treat all of our children the same, right? We treat all of our grandchildren the same, right? Sometimes we don't want to, right? Sometimes we really do have favorites. Can we be honest here? But Linda will kill me if I don't treat all my kids and grandkids the same. She is the real watchdog watch person on that. We got to move on, folks. Let's see. Boy, Joseph had plenty to complain about. What did Joseph do to... Now, we know that his visions certainly could cause his brothers to be angry. His father's favoritism towards him would cause them to envy him. So we know that he was treated bad by his brothers. Then he had the pit experience. He was put in the pit. Then he was sold to Ishmaelites. Then he was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He resisted and was unjustly thrown into prison. You know that story. But all of this was preparing him for a tremendous future. Now, could he see that future while he was going through all that? I don't think so. I think Joseph probably, in all honesty, was constantly evaluating his life. Lord, what have I done? Honestly, isn't that how you would view things? Lord, what have I done to deserve this? Lord, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Just keep yourself in the lap of his love and of his care. And that's what Joseph did. As some would view his circumstances as just being a lot of bad luck. As the song goes, if it were not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. But that wasn't the case with Joseph. Eventually, he was raised from prison to become second in command in the land of Egypt. Joseph realized that the tapestry of his life was so woven to perfectly fulfill God's plan for his life. When his father Jacob died, his brothers became very concerned about their future. Genesis 50:15 says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. Boy, there was a curtain of fear that fell all over them. A guy named John Homer Miller wrote, your living is determined not so much by what life brings to you as by the attitude you bring to life. Not so much by what happens to you as by the way your mind looks at what happens. Circumstances and situations do color life, but you've been given the mind to choose, and I love this, what the color shall be. Consider Joseph's response. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. God meant it for good. Has that phrase ever crossed your mind when you're going through a challenge? When you feel like there's no hope? And maybe there's someone today that has come to church and you thought, well, I'm going, but I don't want to go, and I'm going, it won't do me any good, but I'll go anyway. And now you know that at least you ought to come because it's the safest place you can be. But that shouldn't be your reason for coming, of course. A word from God is always right and is always good for your soul. You keep yourself under the word of Almighty God. It makes all the difference in the world. You being here today can make all the difference in the world with what you're going to face tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And you don't have to worry about the next week because you're going to be back here. And you'll get more from God's Word. Bruce Shelley shares something that I think is pretty cool, called Shake It Off and Step Up. The parable is told of an old dog that fell into a farmer's well. After assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the dog, but decided that neither the dog nor the well were worth the trouble of saving. Instead, he planned to bury the old dog in the well and put him out of his misery. When the farmer began shoveling, initially the old dog was hysterical, and you can understand why. But as the farmer continued shoveling and the dirt hit his back, a thought struck him. It dawned on the dog that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he should shake it off and step up. This he did blow after blow. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up, he repeated to encourage himself. No matter how painful the blows or how distressing the situation seemed, the old dog fought panic and just kept shaking it off and stepping up. It was not long before the dog, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly over the wall out. He stepped stepped triumphantly over the wall of that well. What seemed as though it would bury him actually benefited him, all because of the way he handled his adversity. If we face our problems and respond to them positively, refusing to give in to panic, bitterness, or self-pity, the adversities that come along to bury us usually have within them the potential to bless us. Forgiveness, faith, prayer, praise, and hope are some of the biblical ways to shake it off and step up out of the wells in which we find ourselves. Amen. Maybe this morning you feel like that old dog in the well. Maybe you feel like you've been in a well a long time, and you just don't see any way out of your situation, and things look hopeless. Let me give you a couple of verses here that are tremendous. Psalm 38:15 says, For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. God hears. And Psalm 42:5 is powerful. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. His countenance. Do you realize that the face of God never turns away from you? He neither sleeps nor slumbers, does he? When you're asleep, he's wide awake watching over you. He never turns away from you. Well, you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We turn away from him sometimes, though, don't we? We express a lack of faith by our worry, by our anxiety, by our concerns. But the Bible says in verse 5 of Psalm 42, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. If your hope is in any other direction than the Lord our God, it's fruitless. It's no good. Some people say, well, I rest upon my faith. Well, is it faith in yourself? What do you mean by faith? If that faith is in any other direction than faith in the person of Jesus Christ, it's fruitless. In closing, I want to give you some more words from Chuck Swindoll. And I think this is a good closing on this subject. Swindoll said, words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude toward life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. Amen.